Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. So why is Jesus so important? Don't all religions pray to the same God? Aren't all faiths equally valid? In today's study, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, shows us that Jesus explains the seven provisions of Jesus that set faith in him apart. From his own lips, Jesus sets himself apart from all other religious people, declaring that he is the only way to a personal, real relationship with the one we serve, God Almighty. As we open John 10 today, we discover that the connected disciple of Jesus, life is radically different.
Father, we come into your presence thanking you for Jesus. He is our Messiah, our King, the one we love with all of our heart. We pray today that you might be honored and glorified, Father, as we lift up the name of Jesus. As the scripture tells us that if he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. So we pray today for that. We pray that you would work in a special way. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, you heard the saying that life is just a bowl of cherries. Art Linkletter many years ago talked about that, and he would speak to young children, and he would say, what do you think the phrase life is just a bowl of cherries means? And he said, one of the kids said, it means that when you have cherries and they're full and you leave them on the counter, they get rotten. And it seems like the whole world's rotten. Life can seem like it's rotten these days, can't it? Man, all the problems we keep talking about, they keep talking about how the economy's getting better in all of the United States. And then we hear on local news, we hear that unemployment is 9.9 in LA County. And so we aren't seeing that great economic blessing. There are people on antidepressants. One out of three people in America is on antidepressants. Sometimes it feels like the world is just sucking us into its great vortex, and you and I are just hopeless and helpless against all of the things that are happening. However, as Jesus will tell us today in John chapter 10, that for the connected disciple, nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, what he says is that when Jesus is the center of life, life is supernatural. Life is amazing. There are things that happen that you cannot explain naturally. Now, when we talk about this, we find out that what Jesus means by this is that he provides things for you and I that he does not provide for anyone else. In fact, in this passage that we're going to look at in John chapter 10 are seven provisions of the supernatural life. As we get started, though, I want to introduce you to a truth you well know if you've been a Christian for very long. The supernatural provisions are going to come from the hand of a shepherd. They're going to come from a shepherd. Now, would you read with me, please? Psalm 23. You know this very well, but let's just read it all together in unison. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, I'm not rushing on. Did you notice that? If the Lord's your shepherd, what's true? You have no wants. Okay? And if you have wants, we'll talk about that. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. There it is. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'd circle those two words, with me. Remember the Emmanuel series we did in December when we went through and talked about Jesus being with us. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Here it is. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, anybody listening to Jesus that day long ago, when in this passage, John chapter 10, we listen to the audio transcript of the conversation, will immediately be thinking of this psalm. What we're about to read in John chapter 10 will immediately take everyone who's 12 and above and will immediately attach them to the scripture we've just read in Psalm 23. They will get it. And Jesus is not speaking in confused code. He's speaking very directly. In John chapter 10, read with me please, verse 1. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. 21st century LA County down here at the beach. When was the last time you saw a sheep in the area? This everyday occurrence, everybody saw this in Israel, is totally foreign to us. Jesus is talking about out there, outside the village, there was a pen where sheep would go at night to stay away from predators. You'll notice this one, much like most of them, they were mostly made of rocks because there are so many rocks in Israel that they could export rocks probably for the next 100 years and still have another 1,000 years worth of exporting to do. And so they built this, but you'll notice there's a door. There's one door. And the door was big enough for the shepherd to lay in. He would lay up against the door. And so here he would be. He would be laying up against the wall. And so his feet would be touching one side, his back would be touching the other. And he would sleep like this. Jesus is explaining, I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, can you see? If you climb over that wall, you're doing so for evil intention. If you come through the door is set as a shepherd. Jesus continues the story as everybody would understand. Read with me verse 3. The doorkeeper opens it for him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. A shepherd leads sheep by his voice. A shepherd leads sheep by his voice. The leadership is done through relationship. People follow the shepherd, Jesus, because of relationship. Just like sheep follow the shepherd. Now this is pretty cool. If you go to Israel or you go to anywhere where there are a lot of sheep in the Middle East, several shepherds will get together with their flocks. And they'll be down at the watering hole or in a verdant pasture, green pasture, and all of the sheep will intermingle. And they'll just get together and say hi in sheep, you know, and the other one will, you know, say hi back. And so there's a lot of that going on. But when it's time to leave, all the shepherd does is start calling the sheep. And mixed all amongst those other sheep come his flock. It's the most amazing sight you'll ever see. And they just walk with him. Because the purpose of a shepherd is to be with the sheep. And the sheep that the shepherd is with are the sheep that follow him. Now, Jesus is very clear. He's making a huge point. Making a huge point. As he makes this point, look what he says. Verse 6. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Okay? Have you ever told somebody something and you get that look that's like the light's on but nobody's home? That's exactly what happened. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus said again, read with me, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if you would have heard this in the original language and you were half awake, you would have freaked. When he speaks, how does he start? There's two words that Jesus starts with. I am. Now, you know your Bible well enough to know if you know the Old Testament, Moses doesn't want to go to Egypt. He just doesn't want to go, by the way. That's it. We've talked about that many times. He doesn't want to go to Egypt. And when he finally is running out of excuses, he says, well, who do I say sent me? And what does he say? That's what they would have heard. Then they would have heard that awful thing. That was awful. Then they would have heard that he wasn't confused, because he says, I am what? The door of the sheep. And everybody knows in Israel that the door of the sheep is the shepherd. I am the shepherd. And now Jesus got a little problem on his hands. On purpose. He's created the problem. The Lord is my shepherd. No, I am the shepherd. I want you to understand that when Jesus tells us he's trying to explain to people who understand the cues theologically that he is the Lord. He's Yahweh, the God. Okay? All Jesus says, who came before me, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. In other words, been a lot of people, you need to know that even just a few years, about the time that Jesus was born at the census, there was a guy running around claiming to be the Messiah. Messiahs kept coming to Israel. I'm the guy. I'm the guy. I'm the guy. And Jesus says, of all those guys, they're thieves and robbers. They're not the guy. When he says this, he provides us with telling us that he's the one who provides us with personal leadership we need. He's life's leader. I'm the door to the sheep. I'm the shepherd. And so now you throw in Psalm 23 and it makes perfect sense. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. So if you're wanting, where are you? Away from the shepherd. Jesus is trying to get this idea. How come you're not following my voice? You're not getting what you want because you're not walking with me. My sheep hear my voice. They walk with me. They follow me. But they weren't listening. Now listen, if you're going to listen to the voice of God, I have got to be in the Word of God every day. Over the last month, God's been talking to me, and it's been fun. You know, I write cards. This morning I wrote another card from the reading that I had. And I just keep those cards of things that God speaks to me through the Word. And I just write the card down, and I put the date on it, and I put the reference on it. And over the last, since the 12th of April, God has spoken in four very specific areas in my life. This is recorded on May 6th. So in the course of less than a month, I've heard God speaking. Now, when I put those four messages together, those four scriptures, and I read them together, understanding the context of what he said that day, God has been guiding me and telling me what I need to know and showing me how I need to lead. Now, people are reading the same passages as I am, and they're not getting the same thing out of it because they're different sheep. God has a different plan for your life than he does for mine. And if you read the Word, you have to hear God custom tailor make it to your life. And so that's why you need to be in the Word of God every day. Remember what Jesus said? Here it is. I am the door. In other words, the door is what? The shepherd. Okay? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Saved from what? Well, you might read this theologically and think eternal life, and that wouldn't be wrong, but that's not the context. Shepherds don't save people for eternal life. What do shepherds save them from? They save them from predators. The predators who prey upon us, resulting in our shredding our lives. The predators who shred our souls, the predators who debilitate us with depression because of what comes after the heart has been focused on what it shouldn't have been focused on or what it shouldn't have done. And so we never get away from it. And then there are ravages of willfulness. And this willfulness that you and I struggle with causes us to be disconnected from God. And in this process of being disconnected from God, we lose the abundance of his presence. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Say it. I shall not want. If I'm wanting, what's happened? I've gotten away from the shepherd. For those of you who've been here for a week or two, you remember this, right? There's a place of blessing. Step out of it. There's no blessing. Sit back in God's presence and there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11, if you just want to write it down in the margin. You and I have to understand that God wants to bless us. But listen, some of us are suffering from the effects of our rebellion. I keep telling my students over and over and over again the very same thing. If you get drunk, can you get forgiveness? Yes. If you get drunk and you wander out in front of a truck and get hit, can you get forgiveness? Yes. If you get drunk and you walk out in front of a truck and get hit by a truck, do you get the leg back? No. You can be forgiven and hobble for the rest of your life. Many of us are suffering from the effects of our rebellion. This is what the shepherd is trying to keep us away from. He's trying to keep us away from the penalty of our rejection. When we claim the name of Jesus and we hoop and holler in worship, and then we go out and we ignore him when it comes to our finances. We ignore him when it comes to our relationships. We ignore him when it comes to what he tells us to do. It's been fun. We've been talking about our car. Some of you noticed as you drove in today that the Saturn is back. Didn't have the money. God provided the money. $1,900. One of my students said, I think you ought to talk to my mechanic. So I did. So he said, $1,150. I said, good, that's different from what? $1,900. Some of you did the math this week, okay? Then he calls me up and he said, I got it open and guess what? There's a hole in your piston. I'm going to have to rebuild your engine. It's going to cost you another $258 for parts. I won't charge you for the rebuild. I got out of there for somewhere around $1,500, little less than $1,500. You got to live and listen to the shepherd if you want to avoid the predators of life. I don't know what he's going to do for you, but I know this, that Jesus Christ is sent here for eternal rescue. He is sent here for temporal rescue, and he is here to rescue your life from the ravages of predators and your willful rebellion and the rejection and all of the things that you and I suffer under. He is here. All we have to do is get alone with him, open his word, and say, Lord, teach me, and follow what he says. Follow the voice of the shepherd. He's here to bless you with leadership. He's here to bless you with rescue. You know, you might be listening today and you might be thinking, yeah, I want God to rescue me. Yeah, I want God to lead me. But maybe I don't know where you're at. Maybe you don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And we talk about this relationship. How do you establish a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, you do it through a simple conversation. You simply tell him that you want him to be in charge. We use a simple prayer around here. It goes like this. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with you as my ruler. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've never really started a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray this prayer. Those of us who've already prayed this prayer or a prayer similar to it, probably going to pray it out loud with me. And if you want to pray with us for the first time or you want to rededicate your life to Christ, this is a great time to do it. Why don't you just pray? Anybody who wants to, just pray with me out loud. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time or you're rededicating your life to Christ, congratulations. It's so exciting. We've seen, over the last 6 weeks, we've seen so many people pray that prayer for the first time and rededicate their lives to Christ. It's been very exciting to watch God working in lives. Let me encourage you, if you've done that today, just go ahead and take out a response card and mark the response card on the back on the upper left-hand side. You see that? It tells you it's got a place for you to mark that. I encourage you to do that right now so you don't forget. Now, what did Jesus say in verse 9? He said, read it with me, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. This is probably one of the coolest things that you need to understand, is that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he never abandons you no matter how bad things look in your life. He never lets you go. There's that old song, No, No, He Never Lets Go. Okay, I love that song. And he never lets go. Now turn to your neighbor and say, he never lets go. No, say it like you mean it. He never lets go. Now I know he should let go. If you live your life like I live my life, there have been plenty of occasions where he should have let go. Okay? There are plenty of occasions where you and I struggle, but he does not let go. Now, God gives us a group of people to help us in this life to listen and follow the shepherd. The Bible calls them disciples. And the Bible talks about these are the people who mentor you spiritually. These are the people who help you get together, get it all together, understand the Christian life. If you've been in a church where they have you come and pray, okay, receive Jesus, and they have you come and pray, what happens next? Well, we had two kids. Here's one of them. Okay. We had two kids, and the thing we learned that when you have a child, this is what you do. You take it home with you. You don't leave it where you birthed it. That process in the Bible is called discipleship. And so as people have been responding to those and giving me those response cards, Melody and I have been busy discipling people and setting up discipleship and getting people ready to grow in Christ. Listen, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ provides you with the daily nourishment you need to live the purposes of God in your life. He does that. He gives you mentors to help you find those pastures that he desperately wants to bless you with. There is so much provision. Provision, I want to go back and just reiterate. Provision by rescuing you from predators and willful disobedience and from rebellion and from the depression and all of that. There's all of those things of the rescue. There is provision by giving you those green pastures, the Word of God, the blessings of prayer, the intimacy with Him to lead you into the places where He wants to give you $1,900 so that you don't have to use it all. I mean, it's all there. Again, I'm only using $1,900 as a personal experience. I'm not saying he's going to give you $1,900 just so those type A personalities don't say, he never gave me $1,900, he only gave me $1,842. Okay? Got to watch those people all the time. Now listen, the Bible's very clear that God can turn your mess into a message. That God can take your failed tests and turn them into a testimony. That God can take your trials and turn them into triumphs. And if you have been a victim, He can make you a victor. But you've got to listen to the shepherd. I have got to listen. I have got to stop wandering in my own way. And I've got to get back with the shepherd. I've got to walk with Him. Remember that song? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. That's the whole point. And through that relationship, listen, this isn't religion. I'm not interested in doctrine here. I know the doctrine. I'm interested in the doctrine here. Oh, I believe. That's not enough. It's the walk. I believe my wife loves me. I just never am home with her. What? I believe my wife loves me, but I'd rather spend time with the boys. What? Okay, fine. Get divorced. I married my wife to spend time with her. I married my wife to be alone with her. I came here to Pacific Baptist. I chose you just as much as you chose me. I chose to be your pastor. I chose to love you. That's what I did. I love you. I love you by choice. I didn't love you and then say, you know, Phil, let's never get together. Okay? I got a phone. Want to spend some time together? I got a phone. Call me. Everybody who calls me usually gets time. Unless, of course, I'm already booked for that time that they have in mind. It's that simple. I want to spend time with Jesus. Now, Jesus transitions. Are you ready for this? And he talks about transformation. Look what he says. Oh, by the way, if you want a mentor, a spiritual mentor, go ahead and mark your response card. There's a place for that too. What does Jesus say in verse 10? Read it with me, please. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they might have life and have it to the abundance. Now, abundant life. The Bible's very clear. It's probably not what you think it is. Okay? Some people think, by the way, you fill in the blank for abundance here based on the content of your heart, and I fill it in by the content of my heart. But it is definitely not the greedy think of riches, and the vain think of fame, and the phony think of respect, And the righteous think of the things of God. So if you're thinking God's going to bless me with the things of God, the provisions, Psalm 23, you've got the abundant life. You understand it if you understand Psalm 23. So the question is, where do you set your mind? Where's your focus? Romans 8, that we've been talking about these verses in discipleship. Romans 8, would you read just with me verses 5 and 6? For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That's what this is all about. We talk about this vision of Jesus all the time here. We talk about how you're to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Of course, that happens to be this idea of honoring God. You're in your personal life. We talk about how you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, and this is where you continually help the community sacrificially, the people around you. And we talk about loving one another as Jesus loves us. That talks about holding the people in your small group together very tightly. You see, all of this is the whole idea that Jesus provides us with the life of abundance we need to live life with God's joy. Have you noticed people who claim to be Christians look like they're baptized in prune juice? How are you? Fine. Yike. You see, abundance is a lifestyle of love. I love God. Because I love God, I love people. And because I love God, I love one another in this family. I love people. That's why Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He loves us. He never lets go. Now, have you thought about what a shepherd does? Pharisees in the crowd are getting a little frustrated by now. And they're getting real upset with Jesus. But this guy, he's talking about the fact that, well, think through Psalm 23 with me. He provides our every need. He causes me to rest when I need it. He leads me to restful places when I need it. He restores my soul when it's exhausted. He guides me into the right paths for my life. He fortifies me against fear in dreadful times. He protects me when I'm in danger. He comforts me when I'm worried. He supplies abundance despite my actions, the actions of my enemies. He anoints me for leadership. He overflows my needs. He follows me with his amazing compassion and his countless mercy, and he provides for me with eternal and abundant life. And that's just starters. That's just starters. Wow. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, read it with me, lays down his life for the sheep. Now, this shepherd, the good shepherd, shows that he protects his sheep. And you, if you're one of his disciples, he protects you too. With all that we've talked about in Psalm 23 and so much more that we're talking about here. Now hear me. Jesus didn't just give his life on the cross for your eternal protection from hell. That's true. He did that. Hallelujah for the cross. Amen? But that's not it all. He wants to bless my life and your life. Protecting it from evil, blessing it with abundance, watching over it with nourishment, giving you a sheepfold and a shepherd, a under shepherd to care for you. He talks about the difference between his protection and others. He talks about the hired man. Read it with me. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. See that when the wolf is coming. This happens because he's a hired man, notice, and doesn't care about the sheep. You and I have to understand that this shepherd Jesus, never runs away. And the mark of you being mentored and discipled in Christ is you don't run away when one of your sheep is going to be attacked by a predator. You just don't run away. Now, the dig about the hired man is right at the Pharisees, because you know what the Pharisees are into, right? The Pharisees are a little bit afraid of the predator, but they're really into the prosperity, okay? How much does this position pay? How can I get more money? Is it possible you can give me a great big house? Deanne was telling us a story about a pastor in Los Angeles who just is kind of worshipped like God, and people flaunt money at him just so he'll touch them. Watch out for the predators. These predators, they surround you all the time. Watch out for the guys who want the prosperity. Now listen, there are times when God will allow us to go through difficulties. There are times when he will allow us to go through troubles. But that is to help us find that, what's called in the Bible, the blessing of suffering, so we can minister to other people. Check out 2 Corinthians 1 if you want to follow that a little bit more. The whole idea here is this. Jesus provides us with the personal protection we need to live life in God's abundance. God is a shield about us, David said. He is the defender. He is our protector. You can trust this Jesus. Now look what he says. Read with me verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. What is this knowledge about? As the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's how this knowledge. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows you. Now listen, this knowing is experiential. He knows you. He knows how you walk, how you talk, how you think, why you think, what you do, when you whine, when you cry, when you ache, when you hurt, when you weep. He walks with us. Now listen, here's the turnaround. And my sheep know my voice. Why? Because they walk with him. I've been doing this thing for like 20 years now, helping people hear the voice of God. But I want to tell you that you can never hear the voice of God if you won't stay in the Word daily. Because this is the conduit through the Holy Spirit. This book, the Bible, is the conduit to hear the voice of God. People say to me, I haven't heard the voice of God, Pastor, in a year. So what did you do a year ago? I know what you did a year ago. I mean, I know the details, but I know exactly what you did a year ago. You walked away. The word repent means to turn around. Guess what I'm going to tell you to do? Go back to what you did a year ago, ask for forgiveness, and get back here in the place of blessing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, it's all about relationship. It's God and me, and that's us together. That's why Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, read this, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's keep reading. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now notice, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now you need to understand this. You need to grab this. This is huge. This is the whole point of the message. Stay with me now. Here it is. You've got to be in the book. You've got to be in submission to hear the voice of God. You got to obey. Trust and obey, because there's no other way. And when you do, not until, not before, and not because you got saved, I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. A lot of people running around got saved and they don't hear the voice of Jesus and they don't understand what's going on. They are clueless. Now Judas, the other one, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Oh, he figured that out. And Jesus said, here it is, read it with me, please, verse 23 out of John 14. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There it is. It's not pray a prayer. It's not just because I prayed a prayer and got saved. It's because I love him, and I keep his word. I obey what he tells me to do. It's the relationship issue. It's that experientialness. And when you and I are with him, Jesus provides the personal intimacy we need to live the life filled with God's encouragement. That's what it's all about. Now, when you have this, something bizarre happens. And this is what I love about Pacific. It's happened here. Okay? Something very bizarre happens. When you get this kind of relationship with Jesus, you don't care what color people are. And you don't care what socioeconomic group they come from. And you don't care what age they are. You love them. Amen. Just like Jesus does. Now listen, I've been in white churches that are all white, and there's different colors of people around them. They're just racists. I've been in black churches where they're all black, and there's people of different colors around them. They're racist. I've been in Asian churches where that particular zone or race of Asian. That's all they have in the church. And there's other people around them. That's racist. I've been in Hispanic churches the same way. Listen, if you don't love everybody, you miss the love of God. You miss the love of God. This is the whole point that Jesus is trying to make. But I have other sheep that are not in this fold, and I must also bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Listen, you and I, we are not Jews. Hallelujah for this verse. There's our inclusion. We got in the door because of this. Red and yellow, black and white, this song is incomplete because we forgot about the olive-skinned people called Jews. Okay? Watch out. Don't be missing the vision of God to reach everyone around you despite their age, despite their socioeconomic level, despite their race. Don't miss it because Jesus provides us with a continuous vision that we need to live life for God's mission. And that is very simple. I love all people. I want to reach everyone. God so loved the world that Jesus decided to come and be our Savior. You see, it's Jesus. Protection, rescue, eternal life, provision, abundance, nourishment. All of this vision, it all comes from the opening that Jesus makes. The door. Jesus is the door. Jesus is our opening to God. Our only way to abundant and eternal life. That's it. There is no other way. So I'm going to ask you, even if you already know Christ, listen. Open your heart wider to Him. You say, well, I'm saved and I'm good. No. More. Let Him have a bigger part of you. Surrender your will more to Him. Rearrange your schedule better and faster for Him. Let Jesus provide so much for you. That's what this message is all about. He's the door. Let Him in more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we have been in your presence again as a family, we are thanking you for the amazing grace that you pour out upon us. We come to you and say thank you for the unending supply of mercy that overflows our failures and our rebellions. We come to you thanking you with united voices and pleading the precious blood of Jesus to cover us afresh today and wash us white as snow. We love you. And we so appreciate the way you provide the leadership we need each and every moment of the day. We thank you for the rescue you give, for eternity and for the moment. We thank you for the nourishment, physical and spiritual, because the days are evil and our strength is limited apart from you. We thank you for the abundance you bring into our lives, hope, peace, patience, joy, kindness, and abundant compassion. We thank you for the protection from our predators that seek to take our lives and shred our souls and ruin our lives. And we thank you for the intimacy we have in knowing you. For you are not a God who is far off, but one who is near to help in our times of need. And we thank you that you have more sheep of different colors and nationalities, of different sinful pasts and failures, that you want us to welcome into the love and leadership of Jesus. May we be ready and willing to bless your name and fame in their presence and show them there is a mighty God at Pacific, one who conquered the grave and protects his people.
As Dr. Smith concludes with that prayer of gratitude, our deepest hope is that you will grow to know Jesus in a much more personal, intimate manner so that you can imitate him before others in the world. Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you. If you would like to explore how to enjoy a deeper life with Jesus, one that God is pleased with, Dr. Smith writes a weekly blog that will help you do just that. Becoming Like Jesus is a chronological walk with Jesus through his life and ministry. This weekly blog is built around the premise that Jesus lived a transparent life with his disciples so that we could imitate him. Becoming Like Jesus helps you become the hands and feet of your Master, the Lord Jesus, in your daily life. You can subscribe free of charge to Becoming Like Jesus at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now, until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.